Testing, testing, hot outbound car, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Johnny, yeah?
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
All right, welcome, fellow raccoons, raccoonettes. What's happening, all you hurricanes, you Bensonhurst bombers, and the Freddie Mullers of the world? You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conti, and my pal, Louis Fats.
The two of us are like the Three Musketeers.
That's right. Love that candy. The only discussion-based podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios in Clifton, New Jersey. And if you're listening to this for the first time, subscribe. Go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. And tell us what you think. Our home base is the non-productive website. So if you want to listen to the show another way, you can go to non-productive.com/Honeymooners. And we also have the Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. How are you, pal?
I'm doing good, Joe.
Yes, we are the Three Musketeers,
right?
Three
Musketeers. Great line.
Yes, it really is. I mean, you know, we talk about how they're such great lines, and I wonder if people think, oh, we get it. You like the show. But there's just so many, and that's what's great. We are on number 10. This is our 10th episode, and I'm sure people are like, well, they're only going to be able to do another 29. It's like, no, that's not how this works.
No.
It's really not how this works. We are just talking about all different things Honeymooners.
Right. We could have a show on Ralph's Icebox. So we'll never run out of material.
I don't think so. I think
maybe we'll in the stove, too.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You know what, though? Before we get into the trivia, because we're going to do the trivia different now, because we're two bumbling idiots and we can't seem to get this right, we're just going to do a trivia question in the beginning of the show, and then we'll give you the answer at the end. It'll make it nice and easy. If we remember to give the answer at the end. people always say when they talk about this show and some other, the old shows, they would say, you know, and I understand when they say you can't make shows like that anymore, blah, blah, blah. But they always say, that's when they used to do it live. It's like, they didn't do it live. They recorded in front of a live studio audience. But I think some people think that they were doing the show when it was on live. And that's not true.
Okay.
It was recorded. I think they said
kind of like The Odd Couple was recorded in front of a live audience.
Yes. And I don't know if they mean that or they mean they think that it was done on live television, but it wasn't live television. I think they said that. I think it was either 1,500 or 3,000 people they had in their studio.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think it was a ridiculous number, which makes sense because you get. Bigger laughs.
Big laughs, yeah.
You know,
hear them laugh.
Yeah, you hear the laugh more. But, yeah, it wasn't, I think we already discussed this. We found out that they recorded two of them, and then they would splice it together. Yeah. And you notice it, like, in the dog's life, when he's got the dog food. And there's a moment when they're just tasting the food on the cracker, him and Norton. Mm-hmm. And now when Ralph's like, that's great. And then they're realizing they could do this. At one moment, his jacket is buttoned. And then they go and then 2 seconds later, his jacket is unbuttoned.
Yeah.
So obviously they took and that's what they do. Mm-hmm. They took the best of both
and spliced it and got the end product.
That's what I want to know. I want to know if they ever could find it, the one that they didn't take. Because think about it. We would watch something that we've seen 8,000 times, but it wouldn't be the exact one.
Exactly.
And we would be like, whoa, his left foot moved a little bit or something. But
And you know how the particular nut Gleason was, that he would, the slightest little thing that was off, he would reject.
Right.
So just knowing him.
Yeah. So. That would be really, really cool.
Oh, it would be great.
Yeah. But all right, so do you want to do the...
I'll do the trivia.
Yeah, we'll do the trivia
Being
now.
I'm the vice president of the trivia department. I had a board meeting with myself.
The
VEEP.
Yeah, you're the VEEP of trivia. Because, Louis, I don't think we ever mentioned this, you have been working on a book for a long time.
Yeah, a long time, yeah.
And how many questions did you come up with?
Close to 800.
800. 800 questions for the original 39.
Nine.
No lost episodes.
No, just original 39.
The original 39. So, yeah, Louis needs some medication.
And we still blow the trivia.
And we still mess up the trivia.
All right, so here's this week's trivia.
Okay.
Or so today's trivia, I should say.
Yes.
We're going to
give
the answer at the end of the show, if we remember. And it's going to be, all right, when Ralph went to the reading of the will of Mary Monahan's $40 million will.
Right.
What was the name of the lawyer?
Oh, okay. Very good.
He comes to the Cramden household.
Yes.
To introduce himself. And,
right.
You know,
says his name and then tells them to go to Mrs. Monahan's
apartment.
And he never tells them where the apartment is.
Ralph found it.
Right. Well, you know what? She must have been a prominent person because she was in the paper.
Yeah.
But if somebody with $40 million is going to be in the paper. Yeah. So, but of course, Ralph never realized that she was the. She must have been dressed like a pauper.
Pauper, yeah. Really, and we want to know where did the $40 million go?
Yeah. She only gave away like $75,000.
$75,001.
Yeah, and $1. $1. Right. And then she gave the bird.
I guess the lawyer got it.
Here's an interesting thought. And I think it was a real bird in there, wasn't it?
I don't know.
It
didn't look like it was moving.
But it might have been, you know, one
seems
that
a little
was just,
upset.
Yes, because
he wouldn't eat his breakfast.
Yeah. Come, Fortune, eat your breakfast. I don't know why she sounded like an old Irish woman.
Her name was
Come, Fortune, eat your breakfast.
Her name was Mary O'Donnell.
Oh, that's true. Oh,
that was
right.
Her name.
Yeah, so that's why she had that thick Irish accent. But that bird could, if that bird was alive, if that was a real bird, that bird can legitimately still be alive today. Because those birds live to be 120 years old.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing about having those birds. Because they live forever.
Yeah.
And you have to have a place. That's why, and it makes sense too, that's why she had something for the bird. Because usually the birds outlive the humans.
Yeah.
So even that was, they were very factual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always talk about how sometimes, when we dig into it, you know, a lot of stuff doesn't, you know, fit correctly.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. Yeah. It wasn't a dog.
Cat, you know,
it was a bird. Which,
I always feel like maybe if she did leave the rest of her estate to the bird, then Ralph would have been the custodian of that $40 million, which in today's numbers is like $400 million. Dollars,
unbelievable.
Ridiculous amount.
Right,
ridiculous
right.
amount.
And even though he was going to give, 40% to...
35%.
35% to the stockholders. He still... was going to get him out of the sewer at one point. Like, really? 35% of $40 million? Even if it was $1 million back then.
Yeah, back then.
He doesn't need to go back to the sewer.
No, not at all.
I'm going to get you out of that sewer. So, that is the question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of the lawyer?
The lawyer.
And we'll give you the answer at the end of the episode. All right. This episode, we are going to do something a little different. We are going to do our top five Trixie lines.
Ooh,
this
is a challenge.
We've been, break some chops a little bit when it comes to Trixie's character. Yeah. Not Joyce Randolph herself.
No.
You know,
sweet lady.
But yeah, she seems like everything you ever hear about her is that she is always a really sweet person. In New York, she's always at this diner all the time with her nephew, and she's always very receptive to fans and all that. But Trixie, you know,
I guess I had to throw her a bone every once in a while.
Because she wasn't the vitality of her character was to be, and actually, I think she got more laughs from things that she didn't actually say. Like when all of a sudden he's like, she's going to like it or lump it.
Yeah.
And
she's mentioning her. Yeah.
Right. Or the time when you hear from upstairs, just taking fishing story.
The pots and pans.
It's like, and you got a huge laugh because you know that she just walloped him. but even though you never saw it. But we do, we have the top, we think, the top five lines from the show, the funniest lines.
Some people probably didn't even realize there were five lines coming from Trixie.
See what I mean? That's why we're trying to
be nice here.
But it's, of course, it's not Joyce Randolph's fault.
No, not at all.
Except for maybe one. She messed up the timing, and we'll talk about that. but let's go with our top five of from the show, Trixie. Okay? So, number five. It's from the episode A Matter of Life and Death.
What's the matter with me, Trixie? Don't I get nothing?
I'm too tired.
How do you like that? I've been working down the sewer all day long and she's tired.
That's another reason.
Now, I never realized until last week, like I never got the joke.
Because
he goes, hey, how come I don't get, like a kiss?
It's a kiss because Ralph and Alice are off to the side. Ralph came in, kissed Alice.
Right, he was very affectionate to her when he got home. Mm-hmm. And Ed says, hey, what about me? I get nothing? Yeah. She goes, I'm too tired. And he goes, oh, she's tired. I work all 8 hours all day in the sewer. And she goes, that's another reason. I never got that joke until you told me.
Yeah. I kind of figured it would be just working in the sewer.
Right.
And he never changes his clothes. Yeah. So I'm kind of thinking, like, that's probably the reason?
Yes. And I'm assuming that, you know, he goes there, changes, then maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, but there's a couple of scenes where he came out of the sewer
wearing
his clothes with his,
two scenes.
We see it with the, you know, the costume party.
Right, right.
I was walking in with the Ed Norton clothes with the gas mask over and his waiters and stuff. Yes. And then the other one, actually the same episode in the beginning.
Oh,
when he throws there, Flaherty, he comes out of the suit. What do you expect to see? Yeah. Man, the gray flannel suit, He's still wearing his Ed Norton clothes, his vest, his T-shirt, and,
Yep. But, so.
I guess that's what it meant. That,
it makes sense because he's in the sewer all day.
Yeah.
And you probably have a slight odor.
Yeah, you would think.
From work, sweating, and being in the sewer. And she's like, that's another reason. Which is actually very funny.
It is.
But the thing is, she kind of steps on her own line.
Yeah.
If you listen to it again real quick, when he says that, and when she actually says, that's another reason, they were still laughing.
Yes.
And you almost didn't hear it. If she would have waited another
second. Well, the nanosecond. Like we say in comedy, that nanosecond is so important.
And I think she would have been, because he would have been like, hey, I'm in this sewer 8 hours a day, 8 hours all day, and she's tired. That's another reason. That might have actually
been
killed.
Better. Would have been better. Hesitation.
Yeah.
That little hesitation waltz. Right
yeah. Let's play it again real quick.
What's the matter with me, Trixie? Don't I get nothing?
I'm too tired.
How do you like that? I've been working down the sewer all day long and she's tired.
That's another reason.
There you go.
Because Norton got the laugh.
He got the laugh because... And
she didn't wait for the audience to come down a little bit.
Yeah. And me as a comic, I'm never used to waiting for the audience to laugh because it's always pretty quiet. So, but there is that certain thing of timing, and I understand they were doing it and they have time constraints and all that. But that 1 second,
it's a nanosecond. It's a nanosecond.
It was a second.
Just a beat. And
it would have just.
Yeah.
I think it would have gotten a much bigger laugh. Yeah. Yes. That is number five. Number four is from the Alice and the Blonde. One of the best scenes in all of 39 when they're at Bert
Wiedemeyer's house. It's fantastic.
Yes. And here is, and this line, I will say, I thought it should have gotten a much bigger laugh. It had nothing to do with her. She delivered it perfectly. It just didn't get that big of a laugh, but it's a great joke.
Well, whoever said the age of chivalry is dead was right. And I know the two guys that killed it.
It's a good joke.
Yeah.
And she delivered it good.
Yeah, she was actually pretty good on her delivery. Because her delivery sometimes isn't great.
Right.
But
it was good.
That was probably one of her better deliveries.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Maybe it's just the fact that it's coming from Trixie. The audience just doesn't.
They're not expecting it to be really funny.
Yeah, real funny. Yeah.
You know, because Alice got so many great lines
Alice,
that now they were expecting it.
Yep.
and you know, that expected laughter. You know, they're like on their edge of the seats waiting, you know, like, all right, here it comes. Mm-hmm. And then boom, it just explodes when it happens. So that is her number four, and that was from Allison the Blonde. Number three, this one is from The Sleepwalker. And this one actually got a decent laugh.
Yeah, it did.
And she delivered it fine, and it was okay.
Well, what do you have for dinner? Maybe it's something he eats. Well, it couldn't be anything he eats tonight. He ate what he eats every Wednesday night. Chicken chow mein with potato pancakes.
Yeah, she got a good laugh at it.
They get a good laugh.
Yeah.
You know.
And part of it is because you're picturing.
Yeah, because it's such a bizarre meal, you know, but it's something that Norton would eat. So I think that's what makes it funny, because it has to do with Norton.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, two things that, you know.
And you're picturing Ed Norton eating chicken chow mein and
potato pancakes.
And that's every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday. Every hump day, he is chowing down on some chicken chow mein and potato pancakes.
Now, I wonder if she, I know there are the Chinese restaurants next door or across the valley. Right, so right. That's probably where she got the chow mein. I wonder about the potato pancakes.
Maybe she made
them herself.
I think she made herself. She seemed like she was pretty.
She was a housewife. She was a good housewife.
Culinary. You know.
She had a little culinary.
Culinary.
What you call it, I guess, you know.
Yeah, prowess.
Yeah. Probably around the prowess. Kitchen.
Yeah, she absolutely.
She rattled the pots and pans. I know she rattled them on Norton's head.
Right. Yeah, they always had to stretch the soup, though, when the parents came over. We just got to stretch the soup. How about getting something else? Open a can of beans or something.
Something.
Stretching the soup? What kind of meal is that?
With water?
With water.
Save your jokes for the butcher.
All right, that's number three. And number two, two and one are excellent. They're both very good lines. Number two is from Head of the House.
Okay.
Which is such a great episode. It's got the famous scene where they're drinking.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
And
classic scene.
Yeah. And like you always say, that's not Cramden and Norton. That is Gleason and Carney.
Without a doubt.
Just those two guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Just perfect. And Trixie had a good line. Really good line. Here we go.
Only trouble is, do you think Ed will know the difference? Oh, don't worry about him. He gets tipsy from reading the label.
It's a great line. She delivered it perfectly.
Good laugh.
Yeah,
she got a good laugh out of that.
Good laugh, absolutely.
You know, Norton also used the line a couple minutes later.
Yes,
about them.
Yeah,
when they walk out giggling,
which is like, I think the irony where she's saying that he would get tipsy reading the label. Mm-hmm. And him having no awareness whatsoever thinks that she would be the one. They must have gotten a hold of the, you know, must have seen the label, and that's what makes that funny when he says it.
He says it too,
because it's like, no, dumb, you're the one who gets it. And then obviously they take two sips and they're hammered because it's a 22-minute episode,
not gonna really drink. Then you put that whole amusing bottle of wine.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure Gleason himself would have taken a lot longer to get hammered. Woohoo!
Before he felt like he had hair on his face.
I love that line. That is such a great line.
I love that.
And you
line.
Know that he just ad-libbed that. There's no way that they wrote that.
Oh, that's ad-libbed. That has to be ad-libbed.
Has to be ad-libbed. He had to just think. And the way he did
just
it.
The way he said it. It's like a hair on my face.
Hair on my face. And Carney busts out laughing. And that was a true laugh.
Yes.
Because then afterwards, then they were laughing at something that they're supposed to laugh at.
Yeah.
And you could tell they
in
were
that drunk sense.
Right.
Of they laughter, were pretending. But that was not. That was Carney. He actually laughs at
laughing.
I'm gonna say Gleason. He actually laughs at Gleason's line of I feel like I got hair on my face. Great line. Great line.
All right. And so that wait a minute. Yeah, that's hair. And number one.
Here we go.
Here we go. Number one. I'm wondering if out there you guys have your own number one in your head, what you think would be number one, but it's no comparison. It's the biggest laugh she got in all 39 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. She just delivered it perfect, and it's so funny. Here it is.
You think you got it bad? Wait till I tell you what my Ed did. 2:00 this morning, he wanted to get a drink of water. So he wakes me up so he can tip his hat before he leaves.
This is perfect.
Great laugh she got.
Huge laugh.
Yeah,
yeah.
Coming out of her.
Yeah, it was great.
I thought it was one of her better deliveries.
Yes.
Because she screwed up on that other, we talked about before, you know, she's kind of, not screwed up, but that nanosecond wait between that line.
Yes.
You know, and that's another reason.
Yep.
But this, her delivery in this one was perfect.
It was, delivery was great, and she also, the way she tips the hat.
Yeah, she does the motion.
Which was so great. And just the tips his hat before he leaves. And the way she said it, it was done so great.
Yep.
And she deserved to get a good laugh.
She did. She did.
Yeah.
So that's our tribute to Joyce Randolph.
That's pretty much it. But maybe we had her top five lines.
I bet you people out there didn't realize she had five. There's kind of Joyce Randolph has five lines?
Yes. Because I think I told you, I feel that she is like the Gloria from On the Family.
On the Family, yeah.
You know, need her there, but not like a huge cog in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you need it.
You need it because Norton has to be married.
Right.
And they basically have to have the same situation. Like two married couples, no children.
Right.
You know, same background. Everything's the same, you know, except for their personalities. But
and then,
it just
of course,
fits. They're friends. And of course, you need the friend for Alice.
Yes. Alice is good friend. Good friend. Absolutely. Ooh, excuse me. So, that's our tribute to Trixie. Not really Joyce Randolph, although she delivered them.
And Thelma. Thelma Trixie Norton.
Thelma Trixie Norton, yes. They told us that, I think, one of the guys, a few people on the Facebook also told us, too, the Facebook group, that her real name was Thelma, because she was a burlesque dancer.
Yes, I think we covered that in one of our
episodes. I think we talked about that. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's our tribute.
I feel actually feel better.
Yes, I do.
From like bashing her for seven episodes.
Unbelievable. But yeah, so
and she deserves it. She you said well, from what things you've heard, she's a sweet lady.
Yes,
you know, she's very receptive to fans.
Yeah,
and
she was a good actress. Yeah, you know, she did a good job. There was never although in my younger days, I used to lose my mind when she would come on the screen.
Yeah, we all did.
I would be like, oh my God, she's sucking the comedy right out of this. But she wasn't bad. Yeah. Plus, I'm just, you know.
I heard she was successful. Her husband was a successful businessman.
Oh, okay.
In New York, I think he owned a marketing firm or something like that.
Oh, really?
And something like that. I get mixed up with her and Alice's husband. I think her husband was the one with the marketing firm. So she did well.
Right.
I mean, she did well after acting. I mean, because I guess she didn't do much after that.
I don't think so.
I don't really think she did anything.
I don't think she had to.
Because her husband was successful.
Yeah, and I think she raised her kids. And, you know,
probably been in New York the whole time, probably. You know,
just enjoying her life.
Yeah. You know, financially set.
Absolutely. Good for her.
Good for Joyce Randolph.
Yes. But listen, we're already at 23 minutes.
Wow.
So I think we're going to give our trivia. And then,
can you play it back?
So
maybe we could talk about that episode a little bit.
What?
With the trivia answer. Give it a couple minutes for that thing we were talking about before. With the trivia answer. With the estate.
I don't remember.
You don't even remember the trivia question? You forgot about
it? Oh, yes, I do remember. Oh, yes. Yeah. No,
So let me give the answer to the trivia question.
Okay,
So it's, the question was, the $40 million estate that Ralph thinks he's inheriting.
Right.
There was the lawyer who showed up at the house at Ralph's apartment
to,
you know, announce that he was in the will and he should be, you know, at the reading of the will. What was the lawyer's name?
Right.
And it was
Frederick. Johnny Cochran? Was it Johnny Cochran?
Almost. No.
Oh, okay. Effley Bailey?
Yes.
Was it Effley Bailey? Okay, good.
It was Frederick Carson.
Carson. Fred Carson.
Excuse me, Mr. Carson. Am I to understand that this is the fortune?
Yes.
Norton at the end.
Yes. Yeah, that was the one time he fainted, right?
Yeah. No, he fainted, yeah.
They both fainted.
Mm-hmm. And he's always, every time he fainted, he always tried to catch his hat on the way down.
He could, yes.
So I guess he wasn't totally out as he's going down.
Right. He was still aware enough that to go, you know what, I don't want my hat to fall off.
Like an old Western. No hats fell off.
Yeah, while the oxygen is being sucked out of my brain, I don't want my hat to fall off because, God forbid, I get dust on my hat.
Interesting room at that reading of the will.
Yeah.
Six people
present. Yes.
We have the butler, Herbert Bascom.
right? Who is also
a butler for Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Roberts.
It was kind of.
And he's also Dr. Hyman in the hospital.
Yes.
Norton. The guy took care of Norton when he went in.
Yes, when he first went in there. Yes.
And then we have Mary O'Donnell.
Which I don't know.
The maid.
Was she in it?
No, I think that was she's one
of
them.
One
she was
off, right?
Yeah.
Oh, come fortune.
Eat your breakfast.
Eat your breakfast. Oh, he's upset. He's upset.
Mrs.
Monahan. Yeah, I think you have.
And then, of course, her nephew, Robert Hilliard Bradley.
It's Robert Hilliard Bradley.
And a great line in there, at least when he's left a dollar, and she says in the will that it'll probably be deposited with his bookmaker.
With his bookmaker.
And then Ralph, after a slight pause,
right.
says, I hope you pick a winner with it. So great. Now I always, of course, me, knowing who I am, why I'm always thinking, is that ad-libbed or is that part of it? Just because of the pause.
Right.
Just because of the pause.
Just because of the pause. I wonder.
Great line.
Yeah, it really
great
is.
Line.
And people use that line all the time. I don't think they realize that they're getting that from there. Because
mm-hmm.
it's always like, I hope you pick a winner with it.
Yeah.
A dollar.
So I guess, I don't know. We don't know what Ralph did with the bird.
No, I don't know.
Because
apparently,
he never made it to the apartment.
Nope. The three dogs, the bird. Nope.
The TV. No, we don't know what happened. Anything.
We don't know what happened.
We still don't know what happened. We think Mr. Carson got the balance of that, estate because nobody else got it.
Yeah. Because, he's a lawyer, so he's trustworthy.
He's very trustworthy. Yeah. Anyway.
So
I hope the new trivia format works out.
Yes, let's hope this works.
You had a whole 23 minutes to think about it.
Yes. But so we want to thank everybody for giving us a listen. We really appreciate it. Share this episode or the any promotion of our podcast. Share it on your, whether it's your Facebook, any social media. Text it to your friends. Also, the groups we want to thank, the Honeymooners Group, the Honeymooners Raccoon Lodge, the Honeymooners Classic 39 episodes, and also Edward Lillywhite Norton on Facebook, his Honeymooners Trivia podcast, and he also does Raccoon Lodge Radio.
Okay.
And I also do my show, which I've been doing since 2005, just a regular radio show / podcast called The Conti and Kenny Show. It's very funny. It's me and two of my other pals, and we've been doing it for a long time. And it's a Conti and Kenny show. It's on morelikeradio.com. You can look up Conti and Kenny. You'll be able to find all of it. It's on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. So that's it. Thank you, everybody, for giving us a listen. And that was episode number 10.
Yes.
And we will see you next time.
Good night.
Good night.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
How about tomorrow night?
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.